We're holding on the third line of the wide lines on Nun Zayin Omud Beis. We were learning yesterday about the dinim of Gilui Arayos. That's one of the Seven Mitzvos Bnei Noach. What exactly is included? Now we're going to talk about more what's included. We said that actually we have two different psukim from which we learn that arayos are also to them. One of them is the word lemer from the pasuk Vayitzav Hashem Elokim that we learned about on Nun Vav Amud Beis, and the other one is the fact that it says ish ish by the parasha of arayos, which means both goyim and Jews. So we said why do we need two psukim. So one point is we had Rabbi Yochanan. So we had a couple of different understandings of it. We ended up saying that Rabbi Yochanan says that there's the type of arayas that doesn't even exist among Bnei Noach, a by them. There's no such thing as erosin, and there's no such thing as chuppah for that matter either. We learned it's strictly only with Be'ilah do a couple become husband and wife. So therefore, now if a goy commits adultery with a Jewish Naira, then actually he does, then he gets skila, like a Jew would. So the Gemara says, Tanya Kavaseid Rabbi Yechanan, we learn a brisa the way Rabbi Yechanan had explained it. Kol erva based in aleha, any type of erva for which a Jewish based in would give a yid would execute a yid. Ben Noach muzhar aleha, then a Ben Noach is warned not to do that kind of thing. Ain based in shoyisom missin aleha, but if it's the kind where a Jewish based in wouldn't execute a person for it, for example, you have the various kinds of arayas where there's only a chiyuv kores. Rashi gives several examples: his sister, his aunt, etc. So all of those, the maximum penalty for a yid who does those things is kores. So those kinds of things, then the Braisa says, "Ein ben noyach muzra aleo," then a ben noyach is not warned, he's not also to do those things. Divrei Reb Meir, that's how Reb Meir learns. The Chum say no. Habe arayas yesh she'ein based in shoyisom missin alehen. There are a lot of arayas that a Jewish based in does not that a Jewish based in does not execute people for. Again, the ones that are chayav kares or ben noyach muzra alehen, and yet a ben noyach is warned not to do them. So the Chum say, in other words, you can't say as a blanket statement that anything that for us would be chayav kares is mutter for a ben noyach, because in fact it's not so. So in other words, all the chayvik krisis. Tosfos discusses exactly what would be included in it, but anyway, Hagoris Hagro actually takes out the word harbe, because we're not necessarily saying many of them. The Chum really are only adding the Chum are really only adding, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, only his sister, and only his sister from his mother's side at that. So therefore, you can't really say harbe on it when it's really only one more that they're adding. Anyway, so the Braisa continues. What do we mean by that? That there are arayas that for us are chayav kares and for goyim are also aser. Boal arayas Yisrael. The Braisa continues. If now this Ben Noach has relations with someone who is an erva among Jews, namely, and we don't mean, in other words, where it's a relationship that he himself has among his family. We mean the kind that exists only by Jews, at which, as we're going to go on to say, means Naira Mairosa. Nidin b'dinei Yisrael, then he gets punished with the misa that Yisrael would get, namely. So in that case, for example, he'd be getting chenek. Boal arayis ben noyach, and if he's having relations with an arayis of a with a woman herself who is with a. Where she where the woman herself is a where the woman herself is a goita, nidin medine ben noyach, then he's judged like a ben noyach and he gets saif. The only distinction that we have that we can actually show between a Jewish woman and a goyish woman as far as these types of relationships where there would be that difference, chenek versus hereg, would be only a naira mayrosa, where again the concept of naira mayrosa doesn't apply by bnei noyach in the first place. So we see, therefore, that so that's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan is saying, that with a Naira Marosa, he's going to be getting the punishment that a Yid would get for that, namely Skila. And if it was a different case, then if it was a different kind of case, if it was a Jewish woman who's a Jewish married woman who's not a Naira Marosa, then it would be Chenek. So that's the Gemara asks. V'nechshav nami, why are you mentioning only Naira Ma'arasa then? Based on what we learned before, nichnas ala chuppah v'lo nivala, then we should also count the case that we talked about before, where there was nisuin, but they haven't actually had relations yet, which, as we said before, is also by bnei noyach, no such thing exists, and by us you have that, and by us you have that stage. The answer is high Tana, Tana Dve Menashehu, because the Tana of this Braisa is from the yeshiva of Menashe de Omar, which who says, as we learned earlier on the Amud, Kol Misa Hamura Bat Livnei Noach Eina El Chenek. He says that always Bnei Noach get Chenek, unlike we said, according to everybody else, they get Saif, they get Hereg all the time. So therefore. But here, with a here, according to Tana Dvei Menashe, if they're over on any of their Sheva Mitzvahs, they're getting Chenek. Well then, so in that case, Aidi Vaidi Chenekhu. Well then, whether it applies, whether we're talking about an, so when we're talking about an Eishes Ish, once we're past the stage of Eirusin, once we're into Nisuin or after they had relations, then it's going to be Chenek either way. So therefore, the Braisa is not. So therefore, the Braisa is not spelling that out. But if you, so in other words, in short, what the Chachamim are saying are what the Chachamim are saying is that any relationship that exists among Bnei Noach, then they're getting their default punishment for it, which according to Tana Dvei Menashe is Chenek, so therefore that would include an Eishes Ish as well after Erusin, as far as an Eishes Ish rather after Nisuin, rather after Nisuin or after Chuppah or after having relations, as opposed to when she's a Naira Marasa, then such a concept doesn't even exist by Goyim, and that for sure the punishment for that is Skila, and that's for sure not the default punishment for Goyim for any other Sheva Mitzvahs according to any opinion. So then the Braisa is saying that they do get Skila for that. Okay, so the point is that the Braisa is saying pretty much what Rabbi Yochanan is saying about that where we have a relationship that doesn't exist lahalacha among Goyim, then the punishment they get is parallel to what a yid would get for the same thing. All right, the Gemara asks, well, let's look at Reb Meir's opinion. The sovereign of Meir called Ervasha based in Shoyisoma Missin Aleah, Ben Noyach Muzer Aleah. So you're telling me, Reb Meir, that the general rule is any erva that involves Missus based in for a yid, then is also for a goy. So it would be a quite a large number of the arayas that apply to us Jews. But we learn in another braisa, ger shahoisa. If there's a ger who was conceived not bikdusha and born bikdusha, meaning that he was conceived when his parents were still goyim, and then by the time he was born, they had become geirim. Now, of course, Gershon is a guy dummy, and even then, so even though here by the time he was born, then he's already his parents are already Jews. Nevertheless, he's still considered to not be related to them lahalacha. So therefore, yeshle she'er ha'em, he is considered to have relatives from the mother's side, ve'enla she'er ha'ab, but we don't consider in halacha to him to have we don't consider in halacha for him to have father's side relationships. Now it's like this. Minat Torah, we would say Gershon is a guy who cotton shenola dummy, and therefore he's not considered to have any relationships at all to his relatives, to his birth relatives. However, Midrabanan, the Gemara mentions in Yevamos, we don't want this person marrying certain relatives of his because we don't want there's a concept called bonu mikdusha chamura l'kdusha kala. We don't want people to say, look at this, as goyim we were usher in such and such relationships, and now you're telling me as a Jew we're supposedly we have greater kedusha. Now we're allowed to marry those relatives. It would mean like now we're going from a stronger kedusha to a weaker one. So because of that the chachamim banned certain relationships for Ben Noach, ones that would have been also to him, banned certain relationships for a ger, ones that would have been also to him when he was a goy as well. But we say that only applies on the mother's side and not on the father's side, because in any case, a Ben Noach is to begin with only also in relationships from the mother's side and not from the father's side.
So ha-ketzad. So what do we mean by this? Nosa achose min ha'eim. If he marries, if this person who was born as a ger, but he was conceived still as a goy, if he marries his sister from his mother's side. Now we're talking about, let's say that so she was also born. So she's older than him. We're talking about she was born before their mother had converted. So again, midaraisa, they wouldn't be considered married at all. But now, then now the same way as it would be also to b'nei noach, the same way she's also to him. So yotzi, then the chachamim are going to make him divorce her. Min ha'av, on the other hand, if she's his sister only from his father's side, then yukayim, then he's allowed to keep her, then he's allowed to keep her and stay married to her, because again, the daraisa, they're not considered related at all since they're both gerim. And she became a geyoris when together with the mother. When the mother became a geyoris, the daughter did too. Now the mother was pregnant with this boy, who afterwards, by the time the boy was born, the mother was already a geyoris. But again, she's considered they're not considered related. They're not considered related daraisa. But midrabanan, because of this consideration, shelo yomru, that we don't want them to think that they went from kedusha chamura to kedusha kala. So therefore, again, because by bnei noach to begin with, they're only also in relationships from the mother's side. Therefore, if this is his half sister, only from his father's side, he would be allowed to stay married to her. But if he if they get married afterwards, similarly, continues the Braisa. Similarly, if he marries his father's sister, same thing. Min ha'eim, if she's his father's sister from the mother's side, yotzi, then he has to divorce her. For the same reason, Mina Av, if she's his father's sister from only and they only share the same father, Yukayim, then he's allowed to stay married to her. Achoisa'im min ha'im, if what about if she's his mother's what about if she's his mother's sister? So min ha'im, if they share the same mother, Yotzi then also has to divorce her for the same reason, as the Gemara is going to learn later on, that we learn that a mother's that a mother's and a father's sisters are also to a ben noyach. So even as a ben noyach, he's still those are among the arayas that are also to him. So therefore, so now again, even though we're talking no gerim and gerushin is gaiuk and katan shenolad and all that, nevertheless, because of this kedusha chamura, kedusha kala consideration, then therefore we make him divorce. What about achoisa eim min ha'av? What about if she's his mother's sister, but his mother and that sister share only the same father? So now what happens? Reb Meir Omer Yotzi, Reb Meir says we're still going to make him divorce her, because there is a relationship through the mother over here. This particular relationship is through the mother's father, but nevertheless, Reb Meir is concerned that if you allow it to him, then we're going to think that then we're going to think that a ger doesn't even have relations on his mother's side, and therefore then people are going to think that his sister, that his maternal sister, or his mother's sister, etc., are all going to be mutter. So the mayor says yotzi v'cham yikayim, and the chum say that he's allowed to keep because we don't make that gzera. Now we haven't yet gotten really to the we haven't really gotten to the question of we haven't really gotten to the nut of the question yet, which is we said that Reb Meir in the previous Braisa at the bottom of the previous Amud had said the rule that any arayas that are also to Jews are also to Bnei Noach. We haven't fully gotten into this yet. But anyway, the point is, so far what we're saying is the basic rule is given that a Ben Noach to begin with is also only in relations from his mother's side and not his father's, which Rashi points out. We learn that from the fact that when Avraham is talking with Avimelech, Avimelech asks him, why'd you pass off Sarah as your sister? So Avraham says, as a matter of fact, Omna, in truth, Achosi Bas Ovihi, she is my sister from my father's side. Achloi Bas Imi, but not my mother's side. Now, Sarah in reality wasn't Avraham's sister at all. She was his niece. She was the daughter of his brother Haran. Rashi, though, does point out on the pasuk that we see from the implication of the pasuk that Avraham and Haran were born from different mothers, different wives of Terach. But in any case, the point is that That since Avraham phrases it that way, we learn from that that a ben noach would be mutter, and if had Sarah really been Avraham's sister, he would have been mutter in her if she's only if she's only his sister from his father's side. Meaning again, if Terach had two wives and Avraham was born from one and Sarah from the other, but not if they had been born from the same mother. So now, when it comes to a ger, then we're applying similar dinim to that. So Rashi points out over here, when we started by saying that all of this applies to Harosa v'leidosa shaloi b'kedusha, that it applies when he was, that it applies Harosa shaloi b'kedusha v'leidosa b'kedusha. We said all these cases, we're talking about a person who was conceived when his parents were still goyim, and then by the time he was born, they had been nisgayer. Rashi points out it's not only that case. Really, I mean, the same thing would be if he was born still a goy and then he converted afterwards with his parents or on his own or whatever. The reason we're mentioning Hirosev Shaloi Bikdusha, Vlaidasi Bikdusha, is because if he was Hirosev Vlaidasi Bikdusha, if he had been conceived and born as a Jew, then none of these dinim would apply because then none of these dinim would apply because then we would say that, because then we would say that then we would say if he's Hirosev Vlaidasi Bikdusha, if he was conceived and born in Kedusha, then of course he has relatives, then of course he has relatives who are born thereafter. He has those relatives, same as any born Jew. So according to Rashi, that's the reason for the distinction. Tosfos actually learns the other way around. Tosfos said that at the bottom of the previous Amud learns no. If Hirosev Vlaidasi Bikdusha, then we would say that any siblings of his were born beforehand, he would be mutter in them. Because what do you mean? He went from Kedusha Chamura to Kedusha Kala. He didn't. He was born as a Yid. You can't say that he came to anything. He was conceived and born as a Yid. You can't say he came from anything, from any Kedusha Chamura to any Kedusha Kala. He didn't come. He was conceived and born as a yid to the first place in the first place, as opposed to if it was Hirosei Shaloi B'kedusha, V'leidasi B'kedusha, where there is a certain sad in him of having been non-Jewish because he was conceived when his parents were still not Jewish. Then we would have to say these gzeiros that we don't want him just indiscriminately marrying his relatives because of Kedusha Chamura, Kedusha Kala. And Tosfos said, what?
Is a Jew born from a Goyish father and a Jewish mother less Kaddish than someone who's born from two Jewish parents?
So that's a whole different matter, actually, which we're not really getting into in this sugya over here. The basic thing is that a child born from a goyish father and a Jewish mother, we say in halacha, there's a certain pagam, there's a certain defect in their yichus, but basically it doesn't really have much of an it doesn't really have much of an implication in halacha, except insofar as marrying a kohen. There is an opinion which we've touched on in this shiur before in other places. There is an opinion that says that it would depend how the child was raised, whether he's raised as a Jew or whether he's raised as a goy. The halacha is not like that, though. The halacha is, and we have mice in b'chol yoyim, unfortunately, fortunately or unfortunately, I guess, depending how you look at it, that such children are full-fledged Jews. But yeah, there are certain implications, whether if it's a girl, whether she can marry a goy, and that's pretty much the only one. Anyway, but here we're focusing on whether he was conceived when his parents were goyim and born after they were converted, or whether he was conceived and born when they were still goyim, or whether he was conceived and born after they became geirim. So Rashi is saying the dinim of our sugya over here, of our braisa, are talking about whether he was conceived, as long as he was, Rashi learns that they apply as long as he was conceived to goyish parents, whether he was born by the time they whether he was born before or after they were nisgayer. And Rashi says that if he was Hirosev Vlaidasi B'kedusha, then we wouldn't have all these dinim, because then, of course, his relatives are also to him. Tosfos says maybe the other way around. Maybe then these relatives who were conceived and born beforehand, maybe they wouldn't be also to him, or maybe not. Maybe Tosfos says that yes, you would say the same din would apply to it, but the Mishnah, the Braisa just didn't mention that, because you can't always say as a blanket statement that then any relatives from his father's side are going to be mutter, because it really depends, of course. Here also Tosfos discusses at some length that here Rashi is saying the whole reason for these restrictions on the marriages of this ger is because shelo yomru, because we don't want them to say we went from kedusha chamura to kedusha kala. Elsewhere in Yevamos, Rashi explains a different reason. The concern is The concern is that well, okay, let's talk about that actually. We can talk about it over here. So elsewhere, Rashi explains that there's a different reason behind it. That the chachamim, it's not just that the not just kedusha chamura, kedusha kala, but there's also the concern that so there's also the concern that he might actually marry a sister who was born after him, after the Gerus, and that of course would be also because now both of them were born B'Kedusha, but Tosfos disagrees with that and says the explanation that Rashi is saying over here is the correct one, that the reason is because that the reason is only because of Gzeira D'Rabbanan, because we might say Kedusha Chamura, Kedusha Kala. Okay, anyway, getting back to the Gemara, getting back to the Braisa. So again, Reb Meir had said, "Kol erva shi mishum she'er aim, any erva that depends." Shahoyer Reb Meir Omer. Reb Meir had said the general rule is as follows: Kol erva shi mishum she'er aim, any erva where the basis of it is because she's a relation from his mother's side. Then Yotzi, then if he marries her, then if he marries such a woman after his gerus, or even if he married her before his gerus, and now he wants to keep her as a wife after he was in the skyer, Yotzi, then he has to divorce her. Mishum she'era av, if she's only from his father's side, Yukayim, then he's allowed to stay married to her. There is actually some discussion among the Rishonim whether we're talking about so are we talking about that that he ma are we talking about he married them now after he became a ger, or are we talking about over here where he was married to them when he was still a goy? Well, here we're talking about harosa shalei b'kedusha v'lo dosa. It has to mean that we're talking about he married them after he became a Jew. But further on, we're going to talk about. A case further on, we're going to talk about a case where he marries to two Giyoris. There, we're going to talk about so let's talk there actually. Okay, so anyway, so the mayor says any erva that's mishum she'er em yotzi, then he has to divorce because of this gzeira. Because of this gzeira of Shaloy Yomru, and because after all, as a ben noach, relations from his mother's side would have been also in the first place. But if it's only a relative from his father's side, Yekayim, then Reb Meir says he's allowed to stay married to them. And the Braisa continues, this person who was born as a Jew, who was conceived as a goy but born as a Jew, he would be mutter to marry his brother's wife. So in other words, his brother, who also is a ger, was married to a woman, then his brother dies. So then he'd be allowed to marry her, because then again, such a thing is not also to Bnei Noach in the first place. Over Eishes Achi Oviv, similarly, he'd be allowed to marry his father's brother's wife, same idea. Or Shau Kol Arayis, Mutaris Loi, and the various other and various other Arayis would be mutter to him, which the Gemara interjects. Lasuya Eishes Oviv, what does that last phrase come to include? It comes to include his father's wife. So if his father had a different wife who's not his mother, then after his father dies, or then after his father dies, he would be allowed to marry her. And the point is, it actually says in these cases, we're talking about even his brother or his father, or whatever, married them after they were Niskayer. Nevertheless, again, as Bnei Noach, there wouldn't have been an issue of these things. The issue of a brother's wife or a father's brother's wife or whatever doesn't apply to Bnei Noach. So therefore, we don't have the concern of we don't have the concern of Shema Yomru, that they might say we've gone from a stronger kedusha to a weaker one. And since it's a relative from the father's side, then therefore, then we say Kakotin Shener L'Domi, and it wasn't also to them as Bnei Noach in the first place. Then the Braisa continues, Nasa Isho Vita, what happens if he married a woman and her daughter? So Rashi says, unlike everything we were talking until now, which is where he where was Hirosa Shalei B'Kedusha V'Ledasa B'Kedusha. So we're talking about these marriages he wants to do after he long after he became a ger, because he became a ger as a baby, and now he's grown up and now he's marrying. This next case we're talking about over here, about Isho Vita, Rashi learns we're talking about that he's a regular ger. He married them as a goy. And now his wives were Nisgaya with him. Or the other possibility, Rashi says it could be a continuation of the previous case. We're talking about this person who became a ger, who became a ger before, whose parents became gerim before he was born. Anyway, so he marries a woman and her daughter, koinus achas or moitzi achas, then he can marry one of them, but he has to divorce the other one, or l'chatchila lo yichnos, l'chatchila he shouldn't marry them. Which the Gemara explained, that Rashi brings from the Gemara in from the relevant Gemara in Yevamos, that it means, this is actually referring to all the previous cases, L'chatchila, he shouldn't be marrying any of these women, even the ones of which we say that even the ones of which we say that that Yekayim, it's better if he doesn't marry them in the first place. If he does, then we're not going to apply the Gzeira in certain cases. So that's the point. So Rashi is explaining over here again two possibilities about this issue of Vita. One is that he was married to this woman and her daughter before he was Nisgaya, and then the three of them all were Nisgaya together. So now we're saying he can't stay married to both of them. They're not considered related in halacha anymore. Nevertheless, it doesn't matter, and he still has to divorce one of them. And then Rashi says another possibility is we could be talking about actually. So Rashi says another possibility is Yisrael Gomer. It could be applying to a full-fledged Jew. He was conceived and born in Kedusha. Now you have two women, a mother and daughter, who are Nisgayer, and he marries both of them because, again, he figures to himself, listen, they're Gerim, they're not considered related to one another, so therefore I would be allowed. Now, if they were born Jews, such a thing would be also. That's one of the Arayas, is a woman and her daughter. But because they're Gerim, he figures he can do it. I mean, nevertheless, the Braise is saying that he can't. He can be married to only one of them. He has to divorce the other one. So then you have different explanations. The Rambam, the Rambam's Loshen, where he says that he stays with one of them. He says he stays with one of them, and he's Yotzi, and he divorces the other one. So that implies that we're talking about that they're already married, not like Rashi's first explanation, that we're talking about that the question is whether they can get married in the first place. Okay. Anyway, continues the Braisa, Mesa Ishtoi, what happens if this Ger's wife dies, Mutar b'chamosei, then he's allowed to marry his mother-in-law. Again, for born Jew, such a thing would be oser, but again, since we're talking about a Ben Noach who became a Ger over here, then therefore he would be now allowed to marry her, because again, there's no Kedusha Chamura, Kedusha Kala, to worry about, because Ben Noach to begin with is not oser in his mother-in-law. And the fact is, of course, she's not his mother-in-law because, again, Gerushin is Gaia and all that. The Ikka D'Amri Osir B'Chamosei, however, another version is that he is Osir in his mother-in-law, because then such a thing people might think is mutter by... people might think that such a thing is mutter to an actual born Jew as well. Which by born Jew, there's no such thing. Even if his mother dies, even if his wife dies, then his mother-in-law is still also to him, as we're going to talk about in more detail in the ninth perek of Ar Masechta Be'ez Hashem. Anyway, the point is, therefore, so what do we see from this whole long braisa? We see that this Ben Noach is mutter, for example, to marry his father's wife. Now that kind of thing would, or his mother-in-law, those kinds of things involve Misas Beis Din. And yet we see that Rameyer is allowing them to a Ben Noach. So how can you say the rule that we said on Nun Zayin Amud Beis, that any erva that is chayav misa for a yid is also for a Ben Noach, where we see from this braisa that it's not so? So the answer is Amar Rav Yehuda like Kasha. Rameyer himself has two different opinions on the subject, one following the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer and one following the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. We find elsewhere that Rameyer was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, then he went and learned by Rabbi Shmuel, then he went and learned back by Rabbi Akiva. Here we're saying that also he was a Talmud of Rabbi Eliezer, and he learned by him, and he learned by him as well. What do we mean? D'Tanya, as we Rashi points out the Gemara in Eruvin where we find a Gemara in Beitza where it said where a mayor says something in the name of Rabbi Eliezer. So we see that he learned from Rabbi Eliezer, and then we have a Gemara in Eruvin where it says that he learned by Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara in Eruvin there also mentions that he learned by Rabbi Shmuel as well. Anyway, so now Rabbi Meir has two different opinions on the subject based on Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, respectively. So before, when he said the rule that what arayas are also to Bnei Noach are the ones that are chayav misa for Jews, that's according to one of them. Whereas the opinion that he said in the second braisa, in the long braisa over here, that mentions certain specific relatives that are also to him, that are mutter to him, even though they would involve Mrs. Bastin for even though they would involve Mrs. Bastin for a Jew, such as his father's wife after his father dies, or his mother-in-law. So that would reflect the other one of those opinions. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, you have the pasuk like this, where Hashem creates Chava and then brings her to Adam and marries them off. So the pasuk says, Al ken yazav ish es aviv ves imay. Therefore, man leaves his father and his mother, and the pasuk continues, V'davak be'ishta, he sticks with his wife, v'hoyu levoser echad, and they become one flesh. So now we're going to learn from that the arayas that are also to Bnei Noach, because after all, this is long before the Torah was given. So therefore, this is the same way as we learned from a pasuk a few pesukim earlier, Vayitzav Hashem Elokim. We learned the Shem Mitzvah Bnei Noach. The same way from this pasuk, we can learn what arayas are also to Bnei Noach. So Rabbi Eliezer says as follows: Oviv, when it says that he leaves his father, then it means, we darshan that to mean achois aviv. It means not his father himself, because we're going to have, the Gemara is going to point out, because later on, we're going to, further on in the pasuk, we're going to learn from a word in this pasuk that he's also in Mishkav Zachar, and therefore his father would be automatically included in that as well. Now, we learned a few blocks ago that for a Jew, those are two, according to the Chachamim anyway, we said those are two separate isurim, and if he commits Mishkav Zachar with his father, then he's chayev twice, once for the fact that it's his father, and once for the fact that it's a male in general, but that kind of thing applies to Jews, where we can talk about how many chatois he brings. It's not relevant to Bnei Noach. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer understands that Oviv in the pasuk means not his father himself, but rather Achois Oviv means his father's sister. Imoi, when it mentions that he abandons his mother, that he leaves his mother, means Achois Imoi means his mother's sister. So it means, in other words, the pasuk is saying that a Ben Noach is expected to be leaving alone his father and his mother, meaning his father's sister or his mother's sister, and not be marrying them or having relations with them. So that's according to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Akiva says no. Oviv means Eshes Oviv. The word Oviv in that pasuk means his father's wife. Imoy means Imoy Mamash, and the word Imoy in the pasuk doesn't mean, like Rabbi Eliezer, his mother's sister. It means his actual mother herself. Now, Binyan Shlomo points out, Rabbi Eliezer would agree that his mother is definitely also to him. If his mother's sister is also, certainly his mother is. But the question is just that once Rabbi Eliezer is saying that Oviv has to refer to his father's sister, then he has to say, to be parallel to things, that Imoy means his mother's sister. Whereas Rabbi Akiva is saying that's not what it means. Anyway, the point is, therefore, so we see that according to Rabbi Eliezer, he would be mutter in his father's wife after his father died, whereas according to Rabbi Akiva, he would not. So now the brisas we said before reflect those two different opinions. The first brisa, where the mayor had said that any arayas that are chayav misa by Jews are also to goyim, that would reflect the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. That would reflect the opinion rather of Rabbi Akiva. Since a father's wife is Mrs. Bastian, then that would be also to Bnei Noach as well. And Rabbi Akiva derives that from the word Oviv in the pasuk over here. Whereas the second Braisa that had said that he would be allowed to marry his father's wife, that would be according to Rabbi Eliezer, who doesn't doubt in the pasuk that way. All right, continuing the rest of the Braisa. The rest of the Braisa is according to both of them. Not so. The rest of the Braisa, continuing in Rabbi Akiva's opinion, the pasuk continues v'dovak, that he should stick to his wife. We learn from that v'loy b'zocher. Now that means v'dovak means like they have an emotional relationship between them, and it also suggests like they both have pleasure from it. So therefore v'loy b'zocher. So we daushin from that it means that a goy is not allowed to have relations with another man because there's no v'dovak over there. The receiving one is not getting pleasure from it. So therefore, we can't call it v'davak. Be'ishtoi, the pasuk says, in his wife. From that, we learn v'loy be'eshes chaveroi, that he's also in another person's wife. So from there, we learn that a ben noach is also an eshes ish. And when the pasuk finishes v'hoyu levoser echad, they become one flesh. That means mi shenasim levoser echad. That means Mishanasim Basar Echad, it means only the kind of relationship where it's possible for them to become one flesh, namely to have children. Yotzu Behema V'chaya, which then excludes having bestiality with animals, She'en Nasin Basar Echad, where they don't become one flesh because people and animals can't have children together. So from that pasuk we learn the arayas that Bnei Noach are also in. But it means only these. So according to Rabbi Akiva, therefore, so yes, we can say the rule that we said according to Rabbi Akiva that we said on Zion Amud Beis, that we have any arayas that all the arayas we learn from this pasuk, all of these are ones that would be chayav misa among Jews, and therefore we're saying they're also to goyim. So the Rabbi Meir's first brisa on Zion Amud Beis reflects that. On the other hand, according to Rabbi Eliezer, only the ones who are only the one, according to Rabbi Eliezer, a father's wife wouldn't be also to him, and other relationships that aren't because of sisterhood or brotherhood are also to him. So then Rabbi Meir in the second Braisa is saying that he would be allowed to marry his father's wife after he became a ger. Let's analyze these opinions. The Gemara says, "Omamar, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Oviv Achois Oviv." Rabbi Eliezer says that the word Oviv in that pasuk means his father's sister. The question is why? Ema Oviv Mamash. Maybe it actually means his father. And the answer is can't. Hainu Vidavak. Hainu Vidavak. V'loy Bezochar. We said the word Vidavak means he can't have relations with another male. Well, his father is another male. And again, since by Goyim you don't have the concept of separate Chatois for it, so there'd be no reason to have a separate Isser for it. All right, the Gemara says Ve'ema Eishes Oviv. So why doesn't Rabbi Eliezer learn that Oviv means his father's wife? And the answer is Hainu Be'ishle V'lo Be'ishes Chaver, because that we have. It says that he's not allowed an Eishes Ish. So therefore, so that his father's wife is an Eishes Ish. So the Gemara says Ve'ema La'achamisa. Okay, so then maybe it means he's still also in her after his father dies, like Rabbi Akiva says. Where is Rabbi Eliezer getting to say otherwise? And the answer is Dumya De'imai, because Rabbi Eliezer takes the view, the word Oviv, the Isser that we learn from the word Oviv, has to be similar to the Isser that we learn from Imai. Ma Imai De'lav Ishus. Now, when it comes to Imai, she's not necessarily his mother by virtue of being married to his father. His father and mother could have never been married at all and just had relations, and still she's his mother. Actually, Rabbi Eliezer is saying that Imoy means his father's sister, means his mother's sister. So there's no marriage relationship over there. It's just that she's his mother's sister. Af Oviv Delav Ishus, the same way to say that his father would also mean a relationship that doesn't involve marriage, but just involves the fact that it's his father's sister. Okay. So that's where Rabbi Eliezer gets that. That's where Rabbi Eliezer gets that Oviv means his father's sister. Next, Imoy Achois Imoy. We said that his mother means his mother's sister. Ve'ema Imoy Mamash. Maybe it means his actual mother, like Rabbi Akiva had said. And the fact is, we said that even according to Rabbi Eliezer, his mother is Taka Osir for him. It just doesn't spell it out in the pasuk. And again, the answer is Hainu Be'ishto V'loi Be'ishes Chaver. If it meant his actual mother, then that would be included in Ishto V'loi Be'ishes Chaver. So she's anyway also to him. So the Gemara says Ve'ema La'achamisa. Again, maybe it could mean after her husband, after his father died. And the answer is again Dumya De'Oviv. It has to be similar to Oviv. It has to be similar to the father. Ma Oviv De'Lav Mamash. Just like with the father, it can't mean the father himself, because as we said, that would be Mishkav Zachar, and that's already also to him. Af Ima De'Lav Mamash. Therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says his mother can't mean his actual mother, and therefore, so what other relationship with his mother could it be? It would be a sister, and then in turn, we learn back from that to Oviv that it, for the father also means the father's sister. Okay, so that explains Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, how he derives by process of elimination. So again, the process of elimination, according to Rabbi Eliezer, goes as follows. Imoy can't mean his mother herself, because she's already also to him as Eishes Aviv. Aviv can't mean his father himself, because he's already also on the grounds of Mishkav Zachar. And Aviv and Imoy have to be parallel. So therefore, in neither case are we talking about a marital relationship. We're talking about a sibling relationship, that his mother's sister or his father's sister would be also to him. Okay. We said, on the other hand, Rabbi Akiva Omer Oviv Eishes Oviv. We said Rabbi Akiva darshens the pasuk differently and says that Oviv means his father's wife and Imoy means his actual mother. So let's ask on him the other way around. Why doesn't he hold like Rabbi Eliezer? Ve'ema Oviv Mamash. Maybe Oviv means his actual father. And the answer is same as we said by Rabbi Eliezer. Hainu V'dovak V'lei B'Zachar. That would really be covered by the fact that he's also in Mishkav Zachar. Fine. Ihochi Eishes Oviv Nami. Then why don't we say that it means his father's wife, like Rabbi Eliezer says? And the answer is Hainu Be'ishto V'lo Be'ishes Chaver. That's already covered by the fact that he's also in a that he's already also in an Eishes Ish. I skipped over here. Hainu V'dovak V'lo Be'zachar. Ihochi Eishes Oviv Nami Be'ishto V'lo Be'ishes Chaver. Then why is Rabbi Akiva saying that Oviv means his father's wife? You have the same problem, like we said before, in Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, that would already be included under Be'ishto V'lo Be'ishes Chaver. And the answer is La'achamisa, Rabbi Yezir, Rabbi Akiva, rather, would be saying that this Isser continues even after the father dies. Therefore, according to him, you need a separate word in the Pasuk. You need the word Aviv to include that. If you didn't have the word Aviv, you would say, sure, he's also in her while she's married to his father, because she's an Esher's Ish, but we wouldn't know he's still also in her after his father dies. And again, Rabbi Akiva holds, he is also in that, whereas Rabbi Yezir would hold that such a thing would be mutter. All right, we said Rabbi Akiva had said imoi, imoi mamash. The word imoi in the pasuk means his actual mother, that he's not allowed to have relations with her. The question is, haynu be'ishtoi v'lo be'eshes chaveroi? Isn't that already covered by the eshes ish? And the answer is imoi ma'anu sosai, because you could have actually that his mother is not his mother by having ever been married to his father, but rather because his father was ma'anus her or otherwise had a relationship with her outside of marriage. So she's not his, she was never his father's wife. Nevertheless, she's still also to him, Rabbi Akiva points out, because she's still imoi. Okay. So but my kumitzgi, what's the underlying machloikas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva? So the answer is Rabbi Eliezer Savar, Imoy Dumya de Imoy, Oviv Dumya de Imoy. Rabbi Eliezer says, when it says Oviv has to be similar to Imoy, and the Imoy Dumya de Oviv, and you also have to have that Imoy has to be similar to his father. Both cases, since the Pasuk puts them one right next to the other, then we have to understand that they're both talking about a similar type of relationship. Well, the imoy dumya de aviv lamashkachas la'al ba'achla. So Rabbi Eliezer says the only way that you can have them be similar is where we're talking about a sibling relationship, because you can't say that it means, again, you can't say it means the parents themselves, because again, they're covered on other grounds. The father because of a davak be'ishtoi, and the mother because and the mother because of v'loy be'eshes chaveroi. So therefore, so it can't be referring to them themselves, and it can't be referring to a marital relationship, because then what would be included under Imoy? She's not married to another woman, so therefore we have to understand that it's talking about sisters. Rabbi Akiva, whereas Rabbi Akiva says, why doesn't he agree with that? He says, mutav la'ukme be'eshes aviv. It is more logical to say that the word aviv in the pasuk refers actually to his father's wife, to Ikri Eras Aviv, where we find by us Jews in the parasha of Arayas, it is called his father after all, as we learned a few days ago, when it says Eras Avicha Loisagale means his father's wife, La Pukia Chois Aviv, as opposed to his father's sister, the She'er Aviv Ikri Eras Aviv La Ikri. We never find her called elsewhere in the pasuk his father. We find her called the relative of his father, but not his father himself. And we don't find her called the erva of his father himself. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva says it's not really logical to say over here that Aviv in this pasuk Al Ken Yazav Ish as Aviv, that it should refer to his father's sister, where we never find anywhere else where such a relationship would be called his father, and therefore says Rabbi Akiva, no, we have no choice but to say that Oviv and Imoy in the Pasuk do mean different types of relationships relative to his father and his mother, respectively, namely that Oviv means his father's wife, and Imoy is going to mean his actual mother, which, as the Gemara said, is going to mean where his mother was never his father's wife in the first place. So therefore, on that basis, Rabbi Akiva says that that's how we have to learn the Pasuk. So like this, we said that so we're saying that we have the opinions of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva respectively of which relatives is a ben noyach allowed to marry. And one thing we said, we're saying according to Rabbi Eliezer, he would be also in his father in either his father's or his mother's sister, whereas according to Rabbi Akiva, he would be mutter. So the Gemara says Toshma, let's try to bring a proof. Interesting, by the way, usually when the Gemara brings Toshma, it's usually we have a machlokas amiroyim when we're trying to slog one of them up, one or another of them up from a Mishnah or a Braisa. Here we're talking about a machlokas tanoyim. We can't very well slog them up from a Mishnah or a Braisa. They're tanoyim. They're allowed to argue with it, but we can try to slog them up from psukim. So the Gemara says Toshma. We find Vayikach Amram as Yecheved Deidosei. Amram married Yecheved, his aunt, and their children were Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. Now, what do we mean she was his aunt? My love, Deidosei min ha'aim. Shouldn't we assume that Yecheved was his full sister from the mother's side as well, and was still saying that she was? This is before Matan Torah. They're all bnei noyach, so therefore he's allowed to marry her. So we would see, like Rabbi Akiva, that a ben noyach is allowed to marry even his father's sister, or is allowed to marry his father's sister. And then that would be a question on Rabbi Eliezer. The answer is loy doydosim in a av. No, we don't have to say that. We can say that your chevet was kohos's sister only from the father, not from the mother. Now, as we talked about on Amud Aleph, a relationship from the father's side is not considered to be a relationship for Bnei Noach in halacha in the first place, like we said by Avraham, achosi bas avihi, achloi bas imi. So therefore, if Yecheved is the sister of Kohos, Amram's father, and they only share the same father, Levi, but they have different mothers because Levi had two wives, then there wouldn't be a problem to Bnei Noach. So even according to Rabbi Eliezer, such a relationship would not be also to Bnei Noach. Okay, the Gemara says Toshma, so let's try to prove Taka from the pasuk involving Avraham Avinu. V'gam omna achosi vasovihi. Avraham says to Avimelech that Sarah is my sister from my sister, the daughter of my father. Ach loy vasimi, but she's not the daughter of my mother. Miklal debasa emasura. So wouldn't that show that if she was his sister from his mother's side, she would be also to him? So we see that a daughter of the same mother is also to Bnei Noach. So now this one would be a question on Rabbi Akiva, who says that such a thing is mutter. So the Gemara answers back, Vatisbara, what are you even thinking to ask the question? Achoise havoi, was Sora in fact Avraham's sister? Bas ochiv havoi, she wasn't his actual sister. She was his niece. She was the daughter of his brother Haran. Given that that's the case, she'd be mutter to him whether they're related from the father's side or not, or whether related only from the father's side or only from the mother's side. Even among Jews, for that matter, a person is allowed to marry his niece, no matter whether this is whether her father is his full brother or his half brother. What Avraham is saying to Avimelech, kurva de ochis isli ba'adome abba, I have a relationship, my blood relationship to her is only through my father, because, in other words, Haran, my brother, we have the same father, Terach, but we have different mothers, but I don't have a blood relationship with her from my mother's side, because Haran and I were born to different mothers. So there's no proof one way or the other from this about which relationships are also to Bnei Noach, because as a matter of fact, the relationship between the blood relationship between Avraham and Sarah is of the kind where even Jews would be allowed to marry one another. In the previous one with Amram, after the Torah was given, a man's also to marry his father's sister, whether it's a half sister from the father's side, the mother's side, or whether it's a full sister. So therefore we needed to explain. We need to explain that before Matan Torah, it was then, and for Bnei Noach, even now, it's different. And since Yecheved was saying was not Kohos's full sister, but only a half sister from the father's side, their father was Levi, their mothers were two different women, then such a thing would be mutter to Amram before Matan Torah. Okay, the Gemara says Toshma. Let's bring another proof from a Braisa. Mipnei maloi nosa odemas bitoi. Why did Adam not marry his daughter? Now, in everything that we were talking about before, we didn't say that a daughter is also to a ben noach. So in other words, Tosfos explains the question when what happened when Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas. By rights, she should have died right away. So then the question is, so Hashem kept her alive so that she and Adam could continue to have children together. But why did the Eibishter do that? Why didn't he just kill Chava on the spot for eating from the Eitz Hadas? Aye, then who's Adam going to have children with? He can marry his daughter, who was already born together with Cain beforehand, and Adam would have been allowed to marry her. The reason is Kadesh Yisa as Achoisei, Kadesh Yisa Cain as Achoisei. The reason is so that she'd be available for Cain to marry. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Ki Amarti Olam Chesed Yibone. I said the world is built with chesed, meaning, in other words, that Hashem did a chesed and told Adam, don't marry this girl so that she's available to Cain, so that Cain can have children together with her. We find in fact in the psukim in Parshas Kedoshim, it mentions a brother and sister have relations, and it's in the list of Arayas, and it says over there chesed hu. So Rashi brings over there, based on this Gemara over here, the simple meaning of chesed over there means something shameful, but we also learn That it means, based on this Gemara, that Hashem did a chesed to allow Cain to marry his sister, even though the implication is that usually a ben noach is also to marry his sister, but in this case, Hashem made that possible in order that they can have children, in order that they can build up all of humanity. As we learned earlier in the Masechta, Hashem had to create Adam and Chava. Hashem had to create Adam and then Chava from him alone for a variety of reasons. So a person can say Bishvili Nivra Olam, and to show that that every life is important. So therefore, the Eibushter couldn't have created two Adams and then they'd be unrelated to one another, and Cain would be able to marry the daughter of the other one. So it had to be this way. Therefore, that Cain's going to marry his sister. Now the Gemara says, so the implication is, if it weren't for that reason, Asira, then she would have been also to him. So we see, in other words, therefore, that a ben noach is also to marry his sister. Again, how does that fit according to Rabbi Akiva? So the answer is given to ishtri ishtri. Fine. Once we're saying that it was mutter to Kayin, then it became mutter for all bnei noach as well. So we can still say, as a matter of fact, that we shouldn't derive from that usually a sister would be also to bnei noach. Usually, in fact, she would be mutter, but in this case, because she was also because Hashem was mater it, because of that situation, because Cain needed a wife to marry, then therefore it remained that way. It remained that way for future generations as well. Now that's not the actual halacha. The actual halacha is that the actual halacha as the Rambam paskens it is, in fact, that, like we said, in connection with Avraham, that a sister from the mother's side would in fact be osur, and only a sister from the father's side would be mutter to a ben nayach with Cain and a sister. Of course, both of them share the same set of parents, so therefore it would in fact be osur, and it was only a one-off that Hashem allowed for Cain. So the bottom line is, there's no proof from the psukim one way or the other against Rebbe Eliezer or against Rebbe Akiva. Each of them can explain the respective psukim according to their opinion, and so those are the different opinions. Well, let's talk about
Hashem knew this at the beginning with Adam HaRishon. He would have created him a sister to begin with.
No, that's the thing. We're saying that to begin with, Hashem had to create Adam alone for the reasons that we learned earlier in the Masechta, and therefore that means there's no choice but to bend the rules and allow Cain to marry his sister. So again, the chesed Hashem did is to tell Adam not to marry her, even though, as the Gemara is going to go on to say over here, that a ben noach is in fact allowed to marry his daughter. Nevertheless, Hashem told Adam, don't, because she's reserved for Cain. So again, according to the Gemara over here, we're saying that became a precedent that always Bnei Noach are allowed to marry their sisters, as opposed to according to the Rambam, or the way he learns the Gemara over here, in the end, they are also, and it was only a special one-off that Hashem did for Cain. Okay. So let's talk more about these dinim, about these dinim of Bnei Noach and who they're allowed and not allowed to. Omer Rav Huna, kusi mutter bebitay. Rav Huna says that a kusi, which again is a change of the censor, it's supposed to be nochri or some word like that, it would be so Rav Chista says he would be allowed to marry his daughter. V'im toimem pnei malanosa odem es bitoy. So then why didn't Odom do that? And as we said, kadesh yisa kain es achoisim from olam chasid ibana, so that should be available to Cain, so that the world can be built up that way. So that's one version of that. So that's what Rav Huna says that he would be mutter, and Adam could have even done that, except Hashem told him not to because she's reserved for Cain. On what grounds that is, given that we said before we were talking. So Rabbi Eliezer had said that among Bnei Noach, only arayas of siblinghood are also, and according to Rabbi Akiva, only the ones that are listed in the pasuk. Either way, a daughter is not listed over there, so therefore, Rabbi Meir had said, on Nun Zayin Amud Beis, a general rule, any arayas that are also to Jews and Chayav Misa are also to Bnei Noach, a daughter is Chayav Misa among Jews, therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, she would actually have been also to Adam in the first place, but here we're talking about, according to the opinions of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva themselves, who don't hold of that concept. So that's one version. The Ikadamri, Omer Rav Huna, another version though is that Rav Huna says Kosi Osir Vibitai, that a Kosi is a goy, is Osir to marry his daughter. Kedan, you can prove that. Shaloi Nasa Adam Asbitai, because we see that Adam did not marry his daughter. However, the Gemara says Veloihi, that's not necessarily correct. There may have been a special reason so that she's available to Kayin. That doesn't show necessarily that on a regular basis a Ben Noyach would not be allowed to. The halacha, in fact, is like the first version. A goy is in fact mutter and his daughter. It means, for example, when it comes to Loit and his daughters, for example, technically, according to the halachas of Ben Noyach, there was nothing wrong in what they did. In practice, though, as Rashi mentions, in some places after the Mabul, the Goyim took extra precautions on themselves in matters of Arayas, and therefore it was considered a shameful thing to do, which is why we find that one of the daughters tried to hide it by naming the son Ben Ami, and Avraham moved away from there because of the scandal. But in principle, according to Halacha, it would have been mutter even lachatchila. Okay. Another din, Omer of Chista, Eved mutter be'imoy mutter be'bitay. An Eved Knani would be allowed to marry his mother or his daughter. Ivy said that a goy is not allowed to marry his daughter, his mother. The difference is Yotze Miklal Kosi v'Chal Yisrael Leibo. An Eved Knani is sort of an in-between stage. He's not considered a full-fledged goy anymore because he's an Eved Ivri. He's an Eved Knani of a Yid. He's already chayev in some mitzvahs, so he's not considered a Ben Noach anymore. But he's not a full-fledged Yid. So therefore we can't make the gzera that we're going to say that he came from kedusha chamura to kedusha kala. So therefore, he would in fact be mutter in both of them. The Rambam points out, even though this is the halacha, we are still going to say, though, that an Eved Knani would still be also in Mishkav Zohar or in Behema, because those kinds of things apply equally to Bnei Noach and to Jews. The Gemara continues, Ki Osir of Dimi, the Rambam anyway gives a different reason why it is that an Eved is mutter in them. We often say in the Gemara, Eved ein lechayis, an Eved Knani is not considered to have any yichus at all. So unlike a Ben Noyach, who is at least considered lahalocha, related to his mother, an Eved Knani is not. So therefore it would be mutter, but again, in Schur and Behema, where it's not a matter of relationships, then that would be also to him. Another din, the Gemara says, Ki osir of dimi omer of Elazar omer of Chanina, ben noyach she yichid shivcha la'avdoi. If a ben, we talked about this before, if a ben noyach has an Eved Knani, and he designates a particular Shifcha, that she's going to be this Eved's wife, Uvaleha, and later on the master goes and has relations with this woman, Neheragaleha, then he would be executed for that, because of Eishes Ish, or because of Gezel, as the case may be. And Gemara says me'emas. From what point is it considered that she's his that she's this Eved's wife? Amar Rav Nachman de Koro lo Revisa de Planya. When people call her Pliny's wife, Revisa means the young woman. So when they call her Pliny's young woman, then it means that she's considered his wife. And then at that point, if the master has relations with her, then he's chayiv misa. Me'emas hatarosa. At what point does she become mutter? When she uncovers her head in the marketplace, in those times, even goyish women, when they would marry, would cover their heads. So now, when this woman uncovers her head in public, then it shows that she's not, because she doesn't think of herself as married to this Eved anymore. And the Rambam brings in the halachas of Bnei Noach and Hilchos Malachim that basically by goyim there's no such thing. There's no formal process of divorce like you have by us Jews. Once they decide mutually that they don't want to be married anymore, then they're not married anymore, and that's it. They don't need any formal thing. And here we see an example of that. All she has to do is uncover her hair, showing that she's not married anymore. The Gemara continues, Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Rav Chanina, Ben Noach Shabal Ishtei Shaloi Kadarka, if a Ben Noach has relations with his wife, Shaloi Kadarka, Chayev, then he would be Chayev. Aye, she's his wife, and by Jews, maybe such a thing as Mutter or not, it's certainly not Chayev Misa, but by a Ben Noach, it would be Chayev. Shenema V'dovak, because we said on Amar Aleph, the word V'dovak, from the Pasuk V'dovak B'Ishtei, refers to a relation where both of them are able to have pleasure from it, implying v'lo shalei kedarka, the same way as we said on Amud Aleph, that v'dovak excludes mishkav zocher because the recipient is not receiving any pleasure from it. The same way it would be by his wife, she's also not receiving pleasure from shalei kedarka. There's no dibuk over there, and there you can't say, therefore it's not mutter to him. But Amar Rava says, how could he say that? How do you ever have a case where something is not where a yid is not chayev for it, but a goy would be? Everything we've been saying in the sugya so far is that is there are things that are also to Jews but are mutter to goyim. You don't have a case where something is mutter to Jews and also in chayev misa and chayev misa for go and chayev misa for goyim. It's not so simple by Jews that such a thing is mutter in the first place, actually. But the Tosfos discusses that point. But nonetheless, though, the fact is, so Tosfos discusses over here. There's other Gemaras that are relevant to that. Whether in fact a Yid is allowed be a shaloi kadavka. Anyway, Tosfos actually says that he's not allowed todir. He's not allowed it on a regular basis. But if he's mostly doing kadavka and then bakrai once in a while, he has a taiva for shaloi kadavka. Then Tosfos says such a thing would be mutter. That's actually quite controversial among Rishonim, but in any case, the point is that even if we say that not, even if we say it is also, it's certainly not Chayiv Misa. So why would we say, says Rava, that it would be Chayiv Misa for a goy? Ela Omar Rava, so rather Rava says no, you have to correct the statement as follows. Ben Noach Shabal Ishus Chavera Shaloi Kadarka, if a Ben Noach has relations with another goy's wife, Shaloi Kadarka, Potter, then we would learn from this pasuk that he's Potter from Misa. My timer, the Ishtoi Veloi Be'ishus Chavera, the Dovak Veloi Shaloi Kadarka. Because we're saying that he has to stay with his wife, implying not his not somebody else's wife. That's where we learn that Eishes Ish is also to a goy, and the word and then the word v'davak means shaloi, means not shaloi kadavka. So therefore, so now if he has relations with this other woman, this Eishes Ish shaloi kadavka, then he's not he's not being over on the v'davak because there is no v'davak, and therefore he wouldn't be chayiv misa for that. Okay, so. So we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, with more things that are also to goyim, and more things that they would be punishable for, and things that are allowed to them, as the case may be.